from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's, I just want to tell you about some of the colors surrounding me. We have pink blackout curtains. We have some gray fleece with a gray stripe. Two of those, they're like very thin fleece blankets from, what's that place called? IKEA. That are like in the super bargain bin, but I had those. I have two of them because they help dampen the sound as well. And then we have moving blankets with white stitching, black moving blankets. Blankets, not a dark gray. And of course, the quilt that the listeners made for me, that's multicolors, is so beautiful. Also behind that is a curtain I had up in a kitchen I had at one point to keep the heat out of the kitchen when I was in a different apartment to reflect the heat. So I'd go into my daughter's room. That's blue, shades of blue. And if you say, I'm feeling shades of blue because I don't know what you're talking about. I thought this was a sleep podcast meant to keep you company so you're not alone in the deep, dark night, to take your mind off stuff so you could fall asleep. You're the most important part of the show. But this podcast is very different, not for everybody. Give it a few tries. See how it goes. With the structure of the show is I'm going to do some support for the podcast. Then there'll be an intro to help you ease you into bedtime. And there'll be an episodically modular bedtime story you could listen to in any order. And it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And these sponsors are what enable us to be here for you free twice a week. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What would what it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/with me. That's odoo.com/with me. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it is time for the sleepy supporter zone, the one part of the podcast I need you here. It's where I pop my peas and say pretty please. Those peas weren't popped as much as
I'm just laughing. This is the part of the show I really need you to hear. This is how we keep the podcast free for everybody. Support the listeners, support the sponsors. If you have a chance to support a sponsor, please let me know about it. We're going to make some changes here to the sponsors so we can keep the show coming out free twice a week. But we do rely on listeners supporting the sponsors. Our sponsors are Direct Response. And one of those sponsors is Air Doctor. Not only do I use it, Deborah got herself an Air Doctor, shared about it on Twitter, tagged Air Doctor, let me know about it. And that's what I'm talking about. If you sign up for a free trial, even, please let me know about it. Let the sponsor know about it. And your action keeps the show free for everybody. And you get some sweet products like the Air Doctor, which I use every day. I'm staying at my parents' right now. The Air Doctor's running in the other room. So thank you, Deborah. If you want to be like Deborah, fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. The next part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you're in need of extra support, there's links to resources you could connect with right now in the show notes, including international resources. It's also about being a member of our communities, being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, but learning more, taking action. There's links to resources you could use in the show notes to do that. And it's about being a part of positive change, like I said, and join our community efforts, building hygiene kits for people experiencing homelessness. You can do that for free. You could be a part of. There's going to be a live show coming up streamed on Zoom. You could come for free. Just take part. sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. Just sign up at sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. And that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mr. Bard, a lot of people help out in the show. Who are Chris they?
Posty poster song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget, if you get your sleep phones, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleep phones, let me know about it too. And that, what do you say we slow down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep? Trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts you're thinking about, thoughts on your mind. So thoughts, about the past, the present, the future. Usually I have thoughts about all that stuff. So thoughts, it could be feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally related to those thoughts or independent of them. Feelings that are just there. It could be physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine. Holy cow, I went to bed late last night, but I tried to, so my routine was disrupted. But I tried to, I did a lot of self-talk, positive self. I said, don't worry, we'll try to, just one night, but we'll still do our wind down routine, which I did. I shortened it. Also had, it was a weekend, but I had two cookies too, a little bit as part of my wind, normally not part of my wind down routine, but I'd just gotten, whatever's keeping you awake, now what's keeping me awake, just a little insight though. They were cookies I'd baked the night before. And I had planned, I kind of used it as a negotiating tool with myself. I said, what if we have two cookies and a diet root beer? Then we'll do our wind down routine and it's going to be okay. I mean, believe it or not, I'm
whatever they call that. The people have told me, you're the wounded healer archetype or something. I said, well, if that's what that means, I still got to practice my, like, I said, it's going to be okay. Let's just do a wind down. I know it's later than you want to be going to bed, but it'll be okay. We'll just do our same routine. You know, we'll just cut out, I didn't do the meditation or the foam rolling, but I did the rest of the stuff. So whatever is keeping you awake, though, a couple of things to know. One, it can feel really like you're the only person going through something. And that may be the case. I may not know exactly what you're going through, but if I can't relate to how it feels, someone out there that's listening right now probably can, that knows how it feels. That's what we call it, the deep, dark night. So that's one thing. The reason I make this show and that it comes out twice a week is because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place you could rest, a bedtime you could look forward to, or at least feel neutral about. Because if you're like me and all the other people listening, maybe you've developed a bedtime relationship that's unlike what I described. Those are skills I had to slowly learn. Most of the time I'd be like Chicken Little running around, and that's like the mild version. And I'd just be like, I'm never, you know, like, and that was every single night, not even when my routine was disrupted. And I did not have, for most of my life, I have not had it. I've started thinking about going to sleep on Sunday night, dreading that on Friday evening. So if you've ever had or you have a relationship with sleep like that, we can relate. And that's why I make the show, is because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve the rest you need so your life is manageable, so that you could flourish. And if that happens, your life's better, our whole world is better. We need you. Really, we need you out there being you. It's the truth. And there's a lot of people nodding their sleepy little heads right now along with me. Regular listeners, thank you for participating. We need you rested. We want you to get the rest you need and deserve. And we want you to feel less alone in the deep, dark night. So those are the reasons I make the show. I know how it feels, and I truly believe you deserve a place you can get some rest. Now, this might not be for everybody. There's hundreds of thousands of people listening right now. It took two or three tries for them to get used to the show. They did not like the podcast on their first or second listen. And they said, holy cow, I don't like this show, or it doesn't put me to sleep, or what is this? It takes some getting used to. So give it a few tries and see how it goes. If you already dislike me and the podcast, that's totally cool. There's a ton of other sleep podcasts I have listed at sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. So check those out. But what I'm going to do here is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm already in the process of doing that, technically. And I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky are my dulcet tones. I don't know what that girl with the porridge would say. Was that Goldilocks? She'd say, oh, this voice is too creaky. And this voice is not creaky enough. Your voice is just, it's like, oh, there's someone that's creaky. I guess that's what you say. Can you describe creaky dulcet in Goldilocks terms ineffectively? I say, you got that. With as long as you put that last part in, you got it. I think she says stuff, she uses those, what are those, adjectives or adverbs or something? I don't know. Those are word modifiers, maybe? I don't know. But she would say, well, this bed's too dulcet. It sounds like angels are humming or something. And this one's too creaky. It sounds like I'm, like, you know, I don't know. It's just creaking me out, man. But this one, it's creaky, and it's just creaky, and it's just dulcet. It's different, not traditionally soothing. So creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, I mean, and superfluous tangents. You've seen those. I try to talk about something, describe my own podcast. Next thing you know, I got to make some porridge. I always think about, whenever I think about Goldilocks, I think I visited one of my siblings' schools once. This was like pre-K or whatever, and they had porridge. And I said, this is it. This is like a... And if, like you say, what moments have you tried to get back to in your life? I say that moment is one of them. when I was having porridge, and I was like, this is it. This is like, this is as good as, this is what life's all about. I don't even remember if what the porridge tasted like or the consistency, but it was like crossing over a threshold from reality into fiction. And I've been chasing that porridge my whole life, but not actually, actually that's overstating the terms, waiting for my porridge to come instead of chasing porridge. I guess I should have been chasing porridge my whole life. And now people in the UK are in porridge-based areas, they're saying, well, just come over here. We got it. Also, you call it this. You probably had it five times in the last month. Oh, really? I don't know, porridge is so much, you talk about romanticizing breakfast grains, slowly cooked till they're mushy, but I want mine just right. You see, that would be the thing. I mean, that's what I know. That's why you hear a slight amusement. If someone presented me a porridge in the present day, I'd say, oh, well, this isn't it. It's not like that porridge in my mind. Porridge in my mind, the porridge that is my mind, the boy that chased porridge. So many chapters in my autobiography, but really be the boy waiting for his porridge day, waiting for the porridge to come. So anyway, I'm glad you're here. Go off topic, I get mixed up because my job is to take your mind off stuff and keep you company. Believe it or not, this is a podcast you don't really listen to, though you can. So it's kind of a podcast that as you become a regular listener, you say, oh, okay, he's talking about Goldilocks and porridge again. There he goes. I never heard him talk about it like this, but he's probably tried to, you know, there goes old Scoots off on a pointless meander and a superfluous tangent. That's a regular, and say, I could kind of listen because he's kind of making sense. I've had some similar experiences, but they weren't really fundamental ones, so I could just, and some people turn me all the way down to a mumble. So just kind of listen like I'm out of focus a little bit. Also, I'm not here to put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep, to be your boyfriend, your boar bay, your boar sib, your boar bud, your neighbor, your boar burr, your boar bestie, your boyfriend, to be your friend in the deep, dark night, to keep you company. If you can't sleep, I'm going to be here to the very end. I got like a 45, 55 minute episodically modular episode coming here that's full of even more pointless meanders and superfluous tangents, and friendly characters trying to solve problems in a way that doesn't make any sense. And just like if someone was reading schematics, that would be too boring, in my opinion, for me. But if they got distracted while they were reading the schematics, and then you say, here's another form of art I could maybe one day do, schematic fan fiction. Maybe like, is that how, because that's one of the things I look for. That's like one of the jokes when I used to do online dating, I'd say, oh, I'd make a Plumbob joke and those are like the only joke I had, and only was open, like only worked on people whose profile, their positions, they had some involvement with Plumbob. But maybe I could put that writer of schematic fan fiction. You say, oh boy, this elevator, you know, that's one day when I retire, that's what I'll be doing. No, I won't, because I don't follow through on that kind of stuff. If I wish I did. Somebody remind me, we could do that. I guess technically Journey into the Land of Tomorrow was a little bit of schematic fan fiction. So there you go. It's been done before, as they say. So what was my point? I'll be here, whether you're awake or asleep. And no pressure to fall asleep, no pressure to listen. I'm here to keep you company in the deep, dark night. Structure of the show also throws new people off. Understandably, this show is a podcast, so it just goes out. So you can adjust to how you listen, but for most people, I'll kind of explain why the show is structured the way it is and how to listen. But you can kind of discover it as you become a regular listener. Show starts off with a friendly greeting so you feel seen and welcome. Then there's support for the show so it can be free. And then support for listeners and the communities around the show. Then there's the intro, which is separate from the support and the sponsor stuff. And it's where I go on and on and on, and I get mixed up, and I introduce the show inefficiently. And so as a new listener, you say, okay, I'm getting a general sense of this. As a regular listener, it's different every single time, but it follows a similar structure. So it's friendly and familiar, but your brain and whatever's keeping you awake can't adjust. But it's also like about 10 to 20 minutes long to ease you into bedtime, to give you a buffer between the day and falling asleep, to be a part of your wind down routine. Now, there are people that skip the intro. There's a couple percentage of people that fall asleep during the intro. But for most listeners, they're winding down or getting comfortable while they're listening to the intro of the show. It's easing them into bedtime. So that's the intro. Then there's support for the show again. So it could be free. And then there's our episodically modular story, Nuns in Space. It'll be a nice little bedtime story. And then there's some thank yous at the end of the show. So that's the structure of the show. That's why I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. I really work hard at your internet drive. So thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do this for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Hey, everybody, it's time for our episodically modular series, Nuns in Space. It's got a touch of seriality, but not right now. We're fully episodically modular with the details being filled in now, and ideally by the characters, if they're listening, they could do me a huge favor and fill in, you know, or double fill in. But episodically modular means you can listen to these episodes in any order, and then the ones you're listening to that have numbers less than the number of this episode, which I don't even know. Maybe this is 6. So if you listen to 5 after 6 or 3 after 6, you say, okay, it's a prequel or whatever. And it's just one way to look at it. The reason I do this is so you can listen to it in any order. You don't got to worry. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. So glad you're here. So nuns in place. And the nuns are in a place, outer space. They're in the cockpit of a spaceship, piloting the spaceship to an unknown destination on a mission unknown. But they're very focused on that. They are not the main characters, though. The main characters are a sentient soda machine named Stan. And you say, oh, was that like Pinocchio that granted, you know, the blue angel or whatever? No, Stan was an android, is a sentient being in the form of this. Sentient being in the form of a freestyle soda machine. You say, okay, was that the other way, like a bubbling cauldron, and Stan, you know, went into, you know, took a carrot from the bubbling cauldron owner's field? No, Stan is a digital-based DBB, digital-based being, maybe? I don't know. This is outside of my pay grade. Stan is similar to what you would say, let's say you got BB-8 or R2. I don't know if those two have free will. I really don't know. I'd have to rewatch all the movies and take about 5,000 courses, retake them, and have a better understanding. There's a question I really don't know the answer to, and I don't know if we should be even delving. Does BB-8 have free will? You know, can you imagine sitting around and you're like in the down, and say, you know what, I really wish I was a cube. Or a tube with a dome, whatever that thing's called, that R2 was. I don't want to be a sphere anymore. But you have a head. You're a sphere with a head, actually, BB-8. You know what? After listening to your podcast, I'd prefer to be known as BB-88. And I said, let's start there. We can both agree on that. But I don't know. But Stan does have free will and consciousness, and Stan also has the illusion of free will. and unsure which one is which. Because how do? Oh boy, this is sleepy as it gets here, folks. Trying to navigate this stuff, and Stan and his sidekick and best friend Scooter are trying to navigate outer space. Now, they're not together. Scooter is on the spaceship with the nuns from his childhood. Those are the nuns in space. And he's the only crew member on their ship. He's sworn to do whatever they say to be a service to them as their crew member. But he also is the only one that's retaining knowledge episode after episode, that they're all caught in a loop somehow, somewhere. And after each loop, they kind of forget everything. Scooter mostly remembers everything, and any forgetfulness could probably be more attributed to the computer, to Scooter, not the computer or the story. But Scooter knows that one, a couple things happen every episode. Stan just comes like comes to awareness in the middle of some issue on somewhere in outer space, outside of the nun's ship. Stan has incredibly cosmic demigod-like powers that have yet to be explained. Somehow they're related to delusion. And Stan normally, as all procedurals go, is in the middle, like is somewhere where there's an issue that needs to be resolved in a procedural manner. I don't know if this is technically procedural because... If you're relying on someone that makes a show that's still following a step, even if it's a procedural with a different procedure every time, but we just need to go take this crosswalk across the street, right? But I'm sure I could do 2,000 episodes about that before it gets repetitive. So. Stan is on a planet, basically, trying to help, the planet's a simplified version, trying to help everybody fix something. Like, for example, oh, there's a vase that got broke. Okay, a couple options to fix it. Tell somebody it broke and say, oh, well, glue it together, get a new vase. But it's, you know, more than that, so I can talk about it for 50 minutes or 45 minutes. So... But Stan also needs his best friend and sidekick's help, Scooter. So Scooter's found that when he helps the nuns on the ship, it somehow portals him to Stan. Then he's able to help Stan resolve Stan's issues, or Stan's helping other people resolve their issues. But then the whole process restarts again for everybody's benefit in space, at bedtime. And you know who resolves my rambling about episodically modular episodes is our Hollywood announcer, Mr. Antonio Banderas. This is Friends Beyond Binaries, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's time for Nuns in Space. Yeah. Thanks, Antonio. Professional as always, looking forward to you being quiet and quiet and motionless but you've actually agreed to go somewhere, but now I'm feeling a need to have you nearby. I didn't realize you're my comfort. Not only are you comforting, but you're my comfort Antonio. I don't have any other Antonios, but if I did, they would be like, they wouldn't be my, I don't know. I can't predict it, but right now, even if I had a variety of other Antonios that I had roles in my life, you'd be my comfort Antonio and Banderas is, you know, like, same thing. I think Scooter, I'll stay here then. Silent, motionless. And quiet, the best I can. If you could do it, but like improving each time. When you say do the best I can, improving though. So you're going to do the best you can, which ideally would be, if we're talking about improvement, ideally would be better than last time, but could be worse than last time on the path to being better than. So that's fine. I mean, ideally it's not fine, but it'd be great if this would be one of those times you're like, you make a whole huge leap forward in silence. But you've definitely been, you know, doing that without a doubt most of the time with some setbacks, like your, you know, the fact that you make angels sigh and your hair makes a twinkling sound and, you know, you make people feel something that's audible and your jaw also creaks, not audibly, but again, like, I think this is another thing I've been made aware of is in The Hague, I don't know what a square jaw means, so I don't even know if you have a square jaw. But when you do something with your jaw naturally, all the people in The Hague or whatever, their job is like measures, you know, straight lines and how much is a gram? What's the density of this thing, majig? They do something with their shoulders where their shoulders relax and they come into awareness that somewhere out there, there's an idealized jaw. They don't realize. I mean, here's the thing. Anybody from The Hague listening, can we get Antonio? Maybe it's just good that you're aware because you can't have Antonio, my comfort Antonio. And he's got, you know, life to live. But just so you know, with all that other stuff, also you've never asked. I mean, I know I would deny it, but, you know, my hair is a straight line, I think. So anyway, that's Mr. Antonio Banderas. This is Nuns in Space, everybody. Okay, pen pal, it's me, Stan. Scooter, if you're listening, I'm going to go back through everything. So please listen to this carefully because this is a lot to absorb, Scooter, and it might be, you may need to draw some pictures or just get here visually to see everything. And oh, by the way, looking on the bright side, I'm equidistant, right now, unfortunately, I am equidistant between two black holes in outer space, obviously. But, you know, most of the time, and even now, I'm having to adjust my position. So I'm not perfectly equidistant from two black holes, but I'm in near the point of equidistance. And you'd say, oh, it's perfectly. No, they have slightly different gravitational pulls, pen pal. All that's measurable, but not important. And here's the thing, pen pal. I have all these, a marionette, pen pal. I am connected to all of these planets, but this is where it gets different, pen pal. All the planets are shaped, if you were to put it like shaped like kind of like an oval with a hole in the middle, but they're all interlinked. So they all look like links of a chain, pen pal. But I'm not with them. I'm at a distance with them because I'm on what you would call a counterweight. And I'm not just on it, pen pal. I'm a part of it because I'm having to move it at all times and readjust everything. And here's the thing. All of a sudden I woke, or I don't remember waking up, but I knew I was connected to all of the links, nine planet linked planets. They're separate planets, but they're interlinked. Good question, pen pal. One-to-one or one-to-two, they're not all linked together, but they all are linked together, just like a chain. They're a chain. So there is one on each end. Now, this has all made things incredibly difficult, pen pal, because on top of all that, and because I'm at a distance, I'm unable to totally, the planets are able to communicate to me through the cables, But I'm at a pretty big distance, and because of the, not all my sensors are working correctly because there's two gigantic black holes pulling at us at all times. Now, we're at a distance from those, but they're pulling us in opposite directions. Okay, here's the thing, pen pal. If everything was going perfect, and that's kind of what I thought was happening when I first remember everything, I'm on a counterweight, or I am a counterweight, which you could just imagine is a big block. The big block has 9 long ropes, we'll say, even though each one goes to one planet. All 9 planets are interlinked. And ideally, I guess it never seemed like it was working because I've had to use some rockets and solar sails have worked really good. But what I was trying to do, well, here's the thing. I couldn't figure out where the problem started, maybe before I remember. But so I would be pulled into one black hole, and then my links, my ropes to the chain link planets, they're being pulled into an opposite black hole, but we're all linked. So then I was trying to get everything to a point where we were being pulled equally in both directions, so we'd be at stasis. And I think I almost had that figured out. It's just like everybody has to relax a little bit, and these planets are unable to relax. And I don't know if it's the residents of the planets or the planets themselves are sentient beings. I'm pretty sure both. But they're able to communicate with me, and they have strong opinions about one another in particular. So I've had to, because I said to them, well, you know, after first I said, oh, wait, these vibrations are actually attempt to communicate with me that are coming through the line, that are coming through the rope, because it's too far to communicate. I'm trying to put it all in a picture you could put in your, you know, in case Scooter's listening. I should probably even go simpler. But I think that's it. We're trying to balance one another. And then I realized they all wanted me to do stuff because none of them get along. And they said, wow, why do I have, I've been in between these two links. And I said, haven't you always been in between those two links? I'm sick of it. And so they would try to move around, and then that would throw, I said, well, I just recalculated everything and readjusted everything, and now we're going to slowly drift out of alignment. I need you to just relax and for all the links to be spread out. And so then I said, okay, can we just, but they won't talk to, they can't, I don't know if they can't talk to one another. But they only talk to me, and I talk to each one of them, and then I talk, and I tried sending out one thing to everybody, and they said, no, you know, I'm Link 8, you know, they said, oh, I like being called Link 8 or whatever. That they could agree on. So then I said, okay, let me find something. So first, the first thing we tried was that they wouldn't touch one another, so I just said, okay, well, I can kind of pull on each rope and get you all in a place in the weightlessness of space or whatever. I think I can calculate that. So none of you are touching one another, but we're still in. And that was extremely difficult, pen pal. Probably not sustainable. The good news is before it was shown to be unsustainable or incalculable, we tried it and they didn't like it because then they said, you know what I'm really tired of is that ring's always in the center and I'm always on the end or I'm always in the middle. So then I recalculated that. I said, okay, so you don't want to touch yourselves, but you want to also rotate around in a way. And again, I ran, my ability to calculate into, like, so I said, okay, let me run some simulations. Let me take, and I said, okay, I think we could do this, because I can't find a way to interlink all of you. But I said, I think I can find a way, like a puzzle pen pal, to get everyone to have it turn at the center. Now, in a way, that would be, but here's the thing. We tried it. That did not work, pen pal. And now, to put it everything is all knotted up. I feel like I would say, between you and me, pen pal, I pulled a scooter. Because what happened was, they didn't get along. I thought they would. Then they started moving. They got, so they knotted, all my ropes are knotted, and they're all the chains are knotted together. And they keep pulling and pulling and getting tighter and tighter. Like I say, well, if you just, and because they're links, I don't know. So everything's knotted up. And then I said, well, and I have to keep the counterbalance. So I can't go any closer to help because I tried figuring that out or building rockets on this. Like if I tried to do anything, then we'll just drift very quickly because of all the mass we have. And then we'll all go into one of the, and then I'll never find Scooter. And also, you know, I know like, I'm pretty certain that these particular black holes, at least, will not end up going to, you know, Candyland universe or something. They're not portals. So I can't leave this planet. You know, I really could use some help, Scooter. And I really could use some help. Stan? Oh, boy. Well, Stan, I was just having a dream that, like, you could make a noise with your jaw, and that it was very, very loud. And you were also doing it with your feet. And it was just, it was not, oh, yes, sisters, I'll be right up. Okay, sisters. Oh, yeah, I'm here in the cockpit. Okay, so you sisters, you're very focused, but I can see some blinking lights and hear some more loud noises. Okay, so some of the temperatures are off down in the engine room. Okay, so what do you need me to do? Oh, get them to correct temperatures. Okay, so go down to the engine room and see. Okay, I got it, sisters. I'll be right. Like, you focus on the mission, correct? Okay, so, again, hey, pen pal, it's me, Scooter. Was having a dream about Stan, and the nuns called me in. And looks like there's some temperature settings off in the engine room. Okay, so, oh, yeah, there's two panels that are blinking here. Okay, this is not ideal because one panel is just blinking too hot, and one panel is blinking too cold, and there's conduits. That's another word for pipe, pen pal. I learned that one from working with the sisters here, going into each panel, and one says too hot, one says too cold, and now let me you know what I've learned is to get measure once before, you know, measure or something. So I'm going to go into the, they got one here. It's like one of these laser thermometers or whatever. Oh, wait, now below, now that I get closer to the panels. Oh, I can feel some heat coming off of this one. The too hot and the too cold. Oh, yeah, there's some cool, like, they both say ideal temperature 98.6. That sounds familiar. Okay, so I'm going to take the temperature of the one that says it's too hot. Okay, 110, and that's set to the temperature I understand. It knows when you touch it. And, okay, the other one's set to 30. So 30 is too cold for that one, and 110 is too hot for that one. And let me just look at my personal digital device. Okay, so both of those are within the range of human. Okay, so if I oh boy, that does feel hot though, even though it's not, it's And that one does feel cold. Okay, so they're definitely hot and cold. Like yesterday's, like that song. Oh, and hey, pen pal. So I know I got to figure this out, and then it'll help the nuns on their mission, which is my requirement. Hi, sister. Yeah, I'm working on it. You have determined that one panel's too hot and one panel's too cold. No. I've also determined that their ideal temperatures are 98.6 on your FM dial, sister. Why don't you tune in to 98.6? It's all covers of that song, Hot and Cold, or something like it. Sister's gone. Okay, so as far as I can tell, wait a second, 98 point, hold on a second. That's my, okay, no, well, I'm 90, I don't know, I'm 98.6. Knew that was familiar. Oh, boy. I finally scored a normal on this digital thermometer. Okay, so let me look at this. One is too hot, one's too cold. There's pipes going in and then pipes coming out, and it says in and out. Take the temp. Okay, so one going in is the same temperature, and the one going out is the same temperature. And the one, okay. Huh. I wish, I could follow these, but the only thing is, this reminds me of Pen Pal is, like, an experiment where, like, you put one hand on one thing and one hand on the other thing at a children's science museum that I attended, you know, last year, and I don't even remember anything. But I thought it was, like, if you put your hand on a cold thing and your hand on a hot thing that's not too hot or not too cold, but obviously too cold for the sensors, like, maybe this is just a situation. Oh, yeah, maybe I should. Okay, I guess these things, I didn't even realize there was these even smaller instructions. Those panels are supposed to regulate the temperature, but they can only regulate it. So I think it's just a matter of these just need to be reset. Such a simple problem. So my only thought was if I hold on to both of these, I think it makes you have to go. So let me use the restroom. And don't worry, I have like a restroom filter on this device, Pen Pal. So you couldn't even, and I was only, you know, just in case when I touch both pipes, my body decides it has to go. Now I'm not, I don't have anything to go with. I mean, I don't mean it like that. I don't have anything, no more liquid ready to release. So I'm going to touch both of these and I'm going to hold both of them. And what'll happen, Pen Pal, my theory is that I may have to pee. That's taken care of. Two, I think it makes you feel the opposite or something like that. I can't even remember that part. Four, if I hold on to both of them, eventually they, at least the part I'm touching, will get close to 98.6 on the FM dial. Radio Nightwater, 98.6 on the FM dial. W, R and W or whatever it was. So I'm going to do that, but also I think that's what'll pour. Oh boy, okay, here I'm go. Okay, that is cold, but not freezing cold. And that one is warm or hot, but not burning hot. Oh yeah, the temperatures are changing, Pen Pal, and I'm crossing my legs even though I already went. Oh boy. Okay, now I'm hearing Stan's pen pal message. It's going right in. Oh, hey, Scooter. Hey, Stan. Oh, boy, what's that noise? Scooter, what do you mean? There's like a scraping noise coming across. I didn't think, where are we, Stan? Okay, well, no, I remember now. Scooter, did you get my pen pal message? On the way here, Stan, I did get your pen pal message. So you're like something like you're like a mascot or something, Stan, huh? What do you mean, Scooter? You're using those masquerade puppets or what is it, mandolins, Mandalorian, like a puppeteer. Why can't I think of the name? Scooter, it's marionettes. But those are the, yes, Scooter. So, but with only chain link planets that are very opinionated, Scooter. Okay. And you're also a counterbalance or a counterweight, Stan. I did see that in my mind coming in. It was like you're on a big obelisk almost. Scooter, it's below me, so I don't really have a Scooter. I've been focusing very much. I still am. No, Stan, I'm not. I realize you're in a tough spot. And I just think that this noise is really loud. Scooter, I've filtered out those noises. Okay, well, Scooter, did you know I gave you a space? Did you realize you're in a spacesuit? Oh, no, thanks, Stan. This looks like is this a spacesuit made to look like underoos? Scooter, it is. Jana and Jaina, underoos. Wow, thanks, Stan. This is great. I wish I had the powers of Jana and Jaina, though out here it wouldn't do any good. Scooter, it may not do you any good anyway, unless you could be like a seal with a bucket of water or whatever. Yeah, and then the seal would throw the water, and then someone would... Okay, that noise is still bothering me. Even my spacesuit... Scooter, your spacesuit can't filter it out, no. Do I have, like, rockets in my spacesuit? Scooter, you do. Okay, whoa. Scooter, what is it? So all those chains are knotted up there, and they're pulling into that black hole. You know what, Stan? I'm getting a sense that this stuff you described is rope. It's like, what in the name of Kim Stanley Robinson? Scooter, how long did it take you to think of that one? I thought of it when I was coming here. This does look like space elevator cable made from the obelisk below, Stan. Scooter, what are you saying? I'm just saying it's not rope. It's like space elevator. I think it's like, maybe it's not. It's here, Stan, I'll be right back. I'm going to shoot off into space. Scooter, don't worry. That's a great idea. I'll tether you to the counterweight so you don't, but with my own tether, thanks. Like a nano tether? Scooter, exactly. I think that's what they made space elevator cable out of. Okay, Scooter, but all my space elevator cables knotted up with the things. And also, Scooter, I've calculated that I can't sustain this for much longer. So this is one of those situations that we actually need your help. I haven't been able to scan the planets because of the distance and the black holes. And the planets seem to speak for them. They have each a distinct, unique voice. Okay, Stan, I'll be back. Yeah, okay. So, Stan, can I communicate with you through this tether? Scooter, you can. You're communicating with me now. Okay, so now that I'm getting some distance, it's a lot quieter out here, but it's still, like, that sound is all of the chains, I'm going to call the planets chains for now. Scooter, that's what I was calling them, but individually. Oh, yeah, but it's one big chain, but they're all scraping together. Yeah, Scooter, they don't like that. That was my first solution, was to have them not touch one another, so they each just wrote, like, I did find that balance, but then they were just arguing amongst one another. Okay, Stan, I'm noticing, did you ever, when they were stretched out, how did you track the distance of them? Scooter, what do you mean? Well, I'm just wondering if... they were stretched across one way. And then you were counterbalancing them in the black hole, but it took a lot of calculation, right, Stan? Scooter, correct. And at another point, I'm just wondering if that was that was just what you came into existence. Like, I'm wondering if the natural state of things is that they're supposed to be like stretched between the black holes. Is it possible for I don't know, this might not be the mineral and organic planetoids shaped like a chain to be in balance among the black holes? It's a good question, Scooter. I don't know, because I don't know what's going on the planets. We're at a distance in the size of the black holes, make it impossible to see any perspective at all. But just the perspective of me further away makes me think that maybe they were stretched in between the black holes. And your counterbalance is like, so just even at a distance, Dan, your counterbalance platform you're on is very, very shiny. Okay, Scooter, what do you mean? Well, there's no, nothing organic. It's very smooth, but it's like, very geometric. Scooter, chains are geometric too. Yeah, but Stan, I'm looking at them and they look more natural. Yours looks unnatural. Okay, Scooter, so what do you think I should do? Let me go look at the planets up close. Can you tether me and I can go? Scooter, go ahead. Yeah, you have very powerful rockets on your Underoos. Oh, wow, yeah. Okay, I'm getting closer, Stan. I'm already seeing... I didn't realize, I like how you built in binoculars into my spacesuit. Scooter, they're not technically binoculars, but that's fine. How about some binaca? Any binaca in here? Scooter, what's binaca? It's a breath spray that used to exist. I don't know. Scooter, no, there's no breath spray in your spacesuit. That would be counterintuitive for a spacesuit designer. Should I put... No, I don't think I can. I think it probably isn't for me. Okay, Scooter, anyway. Okay, so these are all, you know what's on my to-do list to read is Ringworld, but I haven't read it yet. Okay, Scooter, but isn't that a fiction? Yeah, but so these aren't technically Ringworlds, Stan. These are chain-link worlds. These are gigantic planets. Okay, Scooter. And they're mostly, and I can see on the interiors, even though I'm pretty far away, Scooter, I can see now through your binoculars. Yeah, so see how the organic, Scooter, those are legitimate planets. Or one, I guess it's not one planet. But yeah, those are worlds, Stan. But let me come back because I'm not sure what to do. Hey, Scooter, it's good to have you back here. Yeah, thanks for this awesome space. I'm very fast. Let's see. What else can we notice, Stan? Is there anything else you've noticed since you've been here? Oh, boy, what's that coming at us? Oh, Scooter, don't worry. That's just space debris. And eventually it'll be sucked into one of the two black holes. Okay, but that looks like organic space debris, Stan. Oh, Scooter, you're right, it does. And it's, Scooter, it's slowed down because then it'll slow down. It's kind of like a stream. And then it'll decide which black hole it's closer to, and then it'll go eventually slowly go there, like a balloon floating away. Okay, here's the thing, Stan, that doesn't make any sense. Scooter, what do you mean? I don't know, we're missing something, but, that looks like something blue. I hate to ask this because it's always speculated on, but if you go into one of these black holes, what'll happen? Will we be like in the multiverse? Scooter, no, I can't be 100% certain, but I'm pretty certain that these black holes, there's a lot of friction that would be generated and on entering them. And there'd be so much friction generated on entering them that it would cause big farm. The matter would become another matter, but it wouldn't be a matter that could have sentience. Okay, that's a like, is that with all black holes, Stan? Scooter, it's just what I've observed here, and I don't know, just for these particular two only that I know about right now in our discussion at this moment. Okay, so here's what we have so far, Stan. Right now, you're a hero. You're holding these grouchy chain link planets. They either have some sort of central leader, or the planet itself is also in a sentient organic being, hosting sentient and organic beings. Totally normal. I mean, the sentient part or consciousness part's new, but we don't even know that, right? We just know there's organic matter on those planets. But then right now they're caught up in a thing, and that nothing with an ounce of self-preservation or instinctual evolution instinct or whatever you want to call it, Stan, would want to just get float into a black hole if it's highly likely you'll be big farmed, right? Scooter, correct. And then there's other organic matter coming into the area, or I'm just using that in a term for my understanding, Stan. Scooter, I've accepted when you speak that that's what your understanding, or yes, Scooter. And that matter is also going or trying to avoid, probably, or hoping it could avoid, or maybe just having wishful thinking. It doesn't have you to say, oh, when we get to that black hole, I guess you could I can sense it in my gut. Otherwise, I would have tried to fly into one. Scooter, you're correct. And that's all I have, Stan. I mean, okay, Scooter, so I'm listening to you. And the first question is, we should do something for that one piece of organic matter. The other ones were inorganic, just so you know that you're not questioning my judgments, that I've never observed any organic matter coming from a space and getting sucked into one of those two black holes. But I haven't been here forever. Okay, so we should do something about that, right? Scooter, we should, but I don't know what we could do. I mean, because the mass of that one is too great for you or even your tether and your spacesuit to change their direction. Okay, here's another question, Stan. Did these okay, here's a question, Stan. In the middle of the black hole, there's gravity, right? But it's like a gravity provided by either black hole? Correct, Scooter. Okay, so I could stand on that planet. If in a fantasy world, I could stand on one of those planets. Scooter, loosely defined, you could, yeah. And obviously, so, and the planets themselves are really grouchy. But they were grouchy because as soon as, I don't know. Scooter, it's interesting. So a couple things I'm coming together from listening to you be confused. Okay, good, Stan. One is the noise, which I let myself listen to for a while. And the observation that most of the time, if a chain is pulled taut, like, that's how they say, because I think you were trying to think of something that made me think of Ron Konkama, of what happens when you get, when you go to school, you get taught. Well, I'm glad my forgetting what Ron Konkama joke, but go ahead, Stan. So if a chain is pulled taut, Scooter, Scooter, I'm laughing in the inappropriate time. I must be, Stan, you're full being now. but it doesn't make a lot of noise, right, Scooter? It's not grinding and irritating. Because if you were organic matter on one of those planets, it'd be pretty rough. Right, Stan? And, like, if in your world, Scooter, if there was chain links and they were their purpose was to link things and be linked, that would be their purpose, right? You say, oh, you're one of those things so the door doesn't open too far. Or you help our dog stay in the yard. Now, those would be noisier, but you know what I mean? Like, chains are interlinked, and their interlinking has a purpose. Correct, Scooter. And as soon as, now I was here, and it's kind of like one of those things. That, now, Scooter, this is just a speculation. Okay, Stan. Go ahead and speculate. I love it. My speculation is, Scooter, that something about my arrival on this giant counterbalance platform was unnatural, and it disrupted the order of things, which was that these chains that you may have pointed out by accident were stretched equidistant in I'm saying this in a way you could understand, between the two black holes. Now, they would have to use evolution, using your words, what you can understand, Scooter, to stay equidistant between the two black holes. But with the mass, it is possible, I think, Scooter. Okay, so you're saying these planets evolved somehow to stay equidistant between the black holes. So either the planets themselves are intelligent life or there's intelligent life on the planets. Doesn't really matter. Not our job to figure out right now. Right, Scooter. Our job is to fix things. So they would have a common need to work together. And I came and took away that common need. And by doing that, that's why their natural state of things isn't to be grouchy. Maybe they have grouchy feelings. If we're pretending these giant planets are sentient beings, or we're just using that as an overview for the sentient beings that exist on each planet. By you taking over some of the something, they weren't interdependent. Those interlinked chains were interdependent on one another. Correct, Scooter. Okay, and now we're all in a bit of a mess, and that planet's that other organic thing that's coming, blue-green thing, is Scooter correct. That goes to my last piece of discovery, which was your joke about my ropes, which I know aren't ropes. Okay, Stan, what is it? You said they look like space elevator cables, Scooter. Correct. And that made me think that I could make a tether for you, but these are not my tethers. These are not of my nanos, these cables. Okay. And I think that's why my next level of speculation, Scooter, that I'm communicating to the chain links right now, when it seems like they're moving, Stan. Yes, Scooter, I think they had a larger purpose that served their own purpose. Okay, now you're losing me. So you said, what in the name of Kim Stanley? I don't think Kim Stanley Robinson would be super impressed with this, Scooter, but here deep in outer space, I think that not only did the chain link planets rely on one another to stay in balance between two giant black holes, that's just their home. But also the fact that these two giant black holes are pulling things from outer space. Now, one would say, who are you to intervene? But I was thinking, Scooter, of the evolution happened slowly. But then you said, oh, intelligent life. And I said, wait a second. So these cables, each one is attached to each planet. Yeah. And they're... They're, you know, like Doc Ock, Scooter, from those movies of the web-based superhero? Yeah, yeah. they're like that. They're manipulable. That's how I was able to control things and move the planets around. Okay, Stan. And what are you getting at? Well, Scooter, they're all attached to this obelisk I'm on, right? Yeah. So I'm thinking that the they had one purpose that was kind of like, hey, let's all work together, the nine of us, so we don't all end up big farmed. And let's just consider this our home, and we're interdependents. But that sometimes that's just, you know, with non-humans, a lot of times that just goes unsaid. Okay, so their normal natural order of things was to be interdependent and stay. Yeah, I think I understand that part. Okay, Scooter, but at some point, maybe long, long ago, I don't know, they needed, they became aware of something. But also in their awareness, they realized we got to balance, or maybe there was a big event, I don't know. And they said, we need to rebalance things on our planets faster than evolution. Okay, so evolution could have been like at some point like migration or right, Scooter, you're right. Like they could have moved the chain links along. But so also there could be a greater purpose of saying, hey, that's another organic being floating into our area. Do we have an obligation to help that being come live on our planet, one of our planets, but also maybe use that being to rebalance things? Because again, everything would happen so slowly, but too fast for normal evolution at some points. Okay, so you're saying that these are like grabby arms. These are space elevator cables that are grabby arms that could grab something in space that's headed towards one of the black holes, use it as a counterbalance or bring it to one of the other links and to help like whatever it is. Let's just say it's moss or something. Scooter, they could not only could they do that, they could hold it. And now I'm starting to really analyze these, like things could travel back and forth. They could communicate, they could hold it and say, okay, in 5 years, you could come live on one of our planets, but they could also move stuff from planet to planet. Okay. So you're saying to the planets, so what I'm saying, Scooter, is, I'm sending my nanos, so you're not going to be tethered anymore. So you have to hold on to me. Okay, Stan, I'm holding on to you. Okay, Scooter. So I'm going to tell all of the planets to let go at the same time. And hopefully they'll let go. And then the obelisk will separate. Okay, it just happened. Okay, Scooter, I'm telling them to grab the obelisk again. So they were clutching the obelisk. Stan, this sounds like a level of delusion. And I know you're not remembering this, but every time I've come to see you, we've been stuck in the grips of a delusion. Or like, okay, Scooter, I'm going to have to just take a leap and trust you because we got to solve this, okay? Okay, so I'm guessing the obelisk is made from solid delusion, and instead of being in the grips, delusion is in their grips. Scooter, did you just use that time to make some sort of pun? No, it's a fact. I'm just saying that, they're rearranging themselves now that they realize they can control these space elevator cable arms. Yeah, Scooter, they just grabbed that organic thing. And now they're using it to untangle things. And they're holding on to this obelisk. Stan, could you use your jets and my spacesuit and we could push the obelisk towards one of the black holes to rebalance the link chain link planets. And then they could be back and then they'll just let the obelisk go. And Scooter, what about us? There's something, things will take care of itself. I mean, we should not go into the black hole, clearly, but the obelisk should, because then it'll be de-matter. I mean, its matter will become inert, right? More or less, Scooter. So I think, Stan, even though you're not, I think you'll understand this easier than I am. We're on a mission to go through space and collect pieces of delusion that are causing a problem. You're just not remembering it, so you won't remember this. And then I show up to help you, and then we solve it, and then it starts again. Okay, Scooter, it'd be great if you, like, I don't know what you've been doing the last few ones, but if you could show up a little earlier in the process. But I think we could do that. I just told the planets, and they were sighing in a sense, but they say, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. We forgot. So they were delusional too. As soon as they let go of the delusion, it broke it. So what you're saying makes sense. Okay, great. So, I guess, okay, Scooter, this is going to take a very long time though. Why don't we lie down and rest here on this giant bed of delusion? Oh, you know what? I think that's what resets things, Stan. As long as I know the delusion's going and everything's going to be fine. Yeah, let's rest. Scooter, let's get comfortable. Yeah, we could cuddle here. Scooter, I'm going to put on my own pajama. I'm going to have Jetson's pajamas. Okay. And I have my underoos. Scooter, did you realize you got underoos and pajamas mixed up, didn't you? Yeah, I didn't realize that I was flying through space in underwear. I thought, yeah, you're right. Well, it's okay, Scooter. Were the chain link planets laughing at me? Scooter, they were laughing with you. I had to explain to them and show them what Jana and Jaina were. Yeah. Okay. I think it's not Jana and Jaina anyway. Scooter, it's not, but I'm just humoring. Let's just rest, Scooter. Okay, I'm a resting puppy with my best friend Stan. We're going to get some sleep here, and we'll be back for another adventure soon. Good night, Scooter. Good night, everybody. Good night, pen pal. All right, I want to thank everybody who became a patron and has written a testimonial for the show. I want to thank MT, who said, I feel proud of supporting an artist who is unique and hardworking. I feel less guilty listening to the intros. I'd love to see more all-night story-only episodes. All-night TNG. We do have all-night Lady Witchbeard. I think Big Farm in the Sky may have an all-night. If you just search in your podcast app for Big Farm for $10 up patrons or Lady Witchbeard, this should come up. But I could talk more about that in the weekly reviews. I love falling asleep or even just relaxing to the sound of someone talking. And Sleep With Me has perfected the medium by eliminating changes in volume, limiting music, and using a structure that is consistent but never the same. And by focusing on the companionship rather than going to sleep, Scooter has found the magic formula. It's calming without being cliche, and it's inconsequential without being boring. It's comforting because you know what to expect, but unlike watching an old TV show or movie, it's never exactly the same. I chose to support on Patreon because of the changes in because the ads were enough that woke me up. Mystery Bard song, I'd rather have a version without that. And with ad-free, story-only, and all-night episodes, patron feed is the ultimate sleep experience. I also want to make sure the show's free for new listeners who use the free version like I did for years. So thanks so much, MT, and everybody that supports the show that's able to be here for free twice a week, whether you support the sponsors, support us on Patreon, support us on Apple. I appreciate it. And you can support the show for free by spreading the word. I really, really appreciate it. I couldn't do it without you. And what else? We've added these Tuck You In sponsors. That's how we got an episode back to episode 600 in the archives. So thanks so much, and good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Luxe. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.